You're listening to The Real Girl Podcast. Find us on styledtosparkle.com and on iTunes. Subscribe today and have the latest episodes delivered to your favorite listening device. Today, on the first episode of The Real Girl Podcast, I'm going to answer your top five questions about traveling to Japan. I'm hoping that after this episode, I've cleared up any potential questions that you may have had about going to Japan. There are a lot of things that my husband and I get asked about our trip, or things that people thought maybe were true about Japan, or things that had maybe held them back from traveling there, that I definitely would like to clear up, because Japan is absolutely one of my favorite travel destinations in the world, and I think that it could easily be one of your favorites too. So let's get started. Question number one that I think we get asked more than anything else is Japan expensive? Is it expensive to stay, to travel around? Is it expensive to eat? Those kinds of things. So let's just start with, you know, getting there. Flights to Japan can be expensive, although I will say in recent years, flights have gone down. There have been plenty of seat sales with Japanese airlines, which a lot of them are now part of the Star Alliance group, which makes it a little bit easier in getting there with connections, because maybe the city that you live in doesn't have a direct flight to Japan. A lot of these flight costs are about half of what they were about 3 to 5 years ago when we'd first started looking into going to Japan. Things like cost of accommodation. If you want to stay at a fancy branded American hotel, like your Hyatt, your Marriott, those types of things, your Hiltons, on the high end scale of those brands, you are looking to pay sometimes between $800 and $1,200 per night US. However, you can find business hotels with queen size beds that are a good size for two travelers, or even rooms that fit three travelers or four, for a reasonable price. I would say not much more than what it would cost to travel in a similar hotel around North America. So it's not going to be something crazy or out of budget like you think it would be. There are, of course, other less expensive accommodations available, but I'll get into those in further podcasts. Cost of food. Now, when it came to eating, but there's a few different options. You can, of course, you know, purchase things from street vendors, bodegas, restaurants, all sorts of, you know, different options for eating. But when it came to the cost of food, I would say that I found food costs to be about 15 to 20% cheaper than they are in North America. So if you were to go to something familiar, let's say Starbucks or McDonald's, Wendy's, Subway, those types of restaurants that you would find in North America, I found that those were about 15 to 20% cheaper than they were at home. Now, if you were going to go to, let's say, a nicer, fancier restaurant for dinner, I found that the prices were about par of what a fancy dinner would cost in most major centers in North America that I visited, including where I live in Calgary, Canada. So really not a huge jump. It wasn't one of those things where we had to budget, you know, large amounts of money each day to eat. Also, a lot of local Japanese food is pretty inexpensive, especially things for lunch. So that's really not something that you have to worry about. Okay, also, costs of getting around. Now, this is, you know, a kind of a multi-part answer to how that goes with cost in Japan. So to get around for general transit, we found things like the metro system in Tokyo to be fairly inexpensive, a lot less expensive than the metro systems that we've experienced in European countries and in North American cities. The metro was a bit more expensive in Kyoto and Osaka, but when I say a bit more expensive, I mean 50 to 75 cents more expensive, not dollars and dollars. Also, when it came to taking the Shinkansen or any of the JR lines, before we went, we got a JR pass, which was a bit costly, but when you add up how many train trips you were going to take, that ended up being the economical choice. And so for the amount that we used the train system, we actually saved quite a bit of money by doing that. Now, when it comes to the JR pass, if you're wondering, oh, but I want to know about that and if it's worth it for me, I will cover that in a later podcast as well. Okay, question number two. What do I eat in Japan? A lot of people will say, oh, I don't like weird things, or I love sushi, so I really want to go to Japan, but my wife or girlfriend or boyfriend or partner or travel companion hates sushi, or I hate sushi. How am I going to eat in Japan? I feel like that's all that there is there. Completely, completely false. I'm not a huge sushi girl. My husband doesn't really like a lot of sushi. However, if you are going to eat, you know, sushi, Japan would be a great place to do it. However, we found that sushi was definitely more of an upscale meal choice. You could get your sushi at convenience stores and ready-made takeout places, but if you wanted, you know, really good prime sushi, a lot of times that was a sit-down set menu that the chef would prepare based on whatever they had that day. So if sushi is really not your thing, don't worry about that. We went to Japan for 10 days and actually didn't eat sushi at all. So, but if you love sushi, you could eat sushi every day if you really wanted to. So I guess don't worry about that either. So if you like sushi or you hate sushi, either way, you're going to be just fine. What I will say about things to eat in Japan is breakfast isn't really a big meal there. So you won't necessarily find a lot of restaurants that are open for breakfast. Now, for me, who lives in a city with a really big breakfast and brunch culture, that was a little bit of a shock, but it's pretty easy to get used to. If you're up pretty early and you're looking for breakfast, there are a few different places that you can go. There's, of course, McDonald's, and their menu is exactly as it is in North America. McGriddles included, because I know some foreign countries don't carry McGriddles. My husband loves them. You can also go to Starbucks, which is everywhere, and they have, of course, their pastries and fresh fruit and those types of things. Also, anywhere around a large metro station, when you're underground, they have, especially at the actual Tokyo station, they have tons and tons of food vendors and little restaurants and takeout markets and those types of things. And I will tell you, maybe you're not a big breakfast person. Maybe you're just, you know, a pastry and you're good to go. But if you are going to eat pastries, the best French pastries I have ever had in the world, including from France, and I say that with caution, of course, were in Japan. I probably gained 2 pounds a day when I was in Japan just out of the French pastries that I ate, because they were fantastic. You can also find tons of fresh produce at these train station food markets, or even sometimes little bodegas open early enough that you can grab some of those on your way out. One thing, though, that I will say is do not eat when you're walking in Japan. Stop to eat, or eat while you're on the train, or those types of things instead. Don't eat while you're on your way somewhere on foot, because it's really frowned upon. Other things to know about mealtimes are more the meal time itself. So when it comes to lunch, lunch is generally served from 11 to 2, and that's when spots are open for lunch. So if you're thinking, oh, I'm going to grab a late lunch around 2:30, you might be waiting for something to open at 5 o'clock. It's a little bit tricky to kind of find food between 2 and 5 that isn't you know, ready-made at a convenience store or something like that. So if you're looking for a sit-down meal during those hours, you might be out of luck. There are also tons of other varieties of Japanese food outside of sushi that you might want to consider. Things like yakiniku, which is the barbecue that you make yourself at the table. There is aburi, which is another style of barbecue. You can kind of tell where I'm going with this. The hibachi, it's just so many different types of Japanese food, ramen restaurants, and you can get soba and tempura, and just a lot. Just if you just Google, you know, types of Japanese food, you'll be surprised at how many things will come up that you've probably eat regularly and maybe just don't realize are Japanese food. Okay. Question number three. How easy is it to get around, and is there a language barrier? Now, obviously reading the Japanese alphabet, it's not a Latin alphabet standard. So to look at it, it's, you know, obviously just completely foreign to us, for lack of a better term. However, almost everybody that we encountered, especially in the large centers, spoke English. Maybe not fluently, maybe not, you know, a full vocabulary that someone who's been speaking English for 30 years would have, but they at least know enough to get by. So when you are trying to get around, if you are at a metro station, you will notice that all of the signs are in both Japanese and then in English. You will also notice in Kyoto, though, the signs will be Japanese, then Chinese, and then English. So if you're looking at the signs and you're thinking everything's in Japanese, or all of the announcements are in Japanese, and I'm so confused, I don't know what any of this is, you can just wait 30 seconds. Like, just be patient, and everything will pop up on the screen in English, and then the announcer will say everything in English as well. So it's pretty easy. Plus, most of the people that work at the train stations and in the hospitality industry at least speak enough English that they can help you to get to wherever you're going. And getting around there, once you figure it out, when I say once you figure it out, it takes very little time. Once you kind of take your first train trip, you're like, oh, okay, that's all it is. And then you know what you're doing, and it's pretty standard from there. In fact, when you come home, you'll think that things at home are maybe a bit less efficient or confusing or difficult to navigate, where Japan is a bit more orderly. So if also, if somebody doesn't speak English very well and you're maybe trying to communicate with them and it's a bit of a struggle, don't neglect technology. Consider the Google Translate app. So what you can do with that is just punch into your phone whatever you want to say, but put it in English, and then hit the translate button. And then you can actually hold your phone up to somebody and show them what it says in Japanese, because they may do the same back to you to help communicate with you more clearly. And they'll be like, oh, okay, I get it now. And you know, just maybe you can't have a verbal conversation, but that might be one way to bridge the gap. Also, consider body language. There's a lot that can be deciphered from gesturing, and that's pretty helpful when traveling around Japan as well. Question number four. What do I pack and what do I wear? What are things like there when it comes to that? So I would say, like, Japan is a pretty fashionable place. Now, I'm not saying, you know, you need to buy all new clothes to go to Japan, or that you need to be fancy and dressed up all of the time. But I will say that the majority of people that I saw were quite stylish. Their outfits were well put together, you know, accessorized nicely, that kind of thing. But nobody was really flashy. You know, when you see men and women going to work, you see men in suits with ties, women in skirt or pantsuits, mostly skirt suits, that kind of thing. But when you see them in their leisure time, a lot of times they are dressed nicer, you know, often collared shirts or at least a tailored t-shirt, nothing oversized or those kinds of things. You will see them wearing, you know, the Japanese wearing jeans, even distressed jeans, as those are trendy. But what you won't see are outfits that are immodest. You don't see plunging necklines, or you don't see spaghetti straps, or maybe halter tops. Or if someone's wearing a halter top, it's a crop top and they have high-waisted jeans on because of current styles. Or you would see maybe girls in sleeveless, but it wouldn't be strapless. Or if you do see women wearing skirts, they're usually at to below the knee. Midi skirts are really popular there right now, but you do see, you know, some of the younger girls wearing skirts that are, like I said, at or below the knee, things that are definitely modest. And if you see shorts, which it was getting kind of warm when we were there, you would see tailored shorts, like something you would wear on a golf course, nothing too short. You'd also don't see flip-flops. If you're going to wear sandals, I would suggest a Birkenstock or a leather dress sandal, but I wouldn't say that a foam flip-flop that you would maybe wear to the beach or on a beach vacation or that kind of thing when it's hot out, maybe in North America, that's just not something that you would see there. And not because I think that your feet would get dirty, because they absolutely would not. It's just not really considered polite. And, you know, when in Rome. The other thing that you will not see is athleisure. You will not see girls wearing leggings. You will not see people, aside from other tourists, in things like track suits, track pants, sweatpants, athletic shorts. If you're seeing, you know, children going to and from a sports practice, you'll see them in their school uniform, and they have a gym bag with them that has their sports equipment and their sporting clothing in there. If you do see somebody maybe wearing a running outfit, it's because they're actually running through the park or down the street. You won't see people wearing yoga attire outside of a yoga class. It's just not a thing there. You don't see leggings in lieu of pants. It's not the sea of black Lululemon pants that you see in North America. And to be perfectly honest with you, it was kind of nice to see people take pride in the way that they looked instead of just throwing on whatever seemed comfy and easy. It was just a matter of, you know, self-respect and just, I don't know, a politeness about the society and the way that they dressed. It actually, you know, kind of made me rethink maybe some of the times that I went out wearing yoga pants at home, that maybe I could have, you know, at least put a pair of jeans on. Okay. Question number 5. And this is something that I got asked a fair bit. How easy is it to pay for things over there? Now, we know it's a different currency. In Japan, they use the yen, but you know, do I bring a lot of cash? I don't know. Do people even still use traveler's checks? Are those a thing? I have a feeling they might be. What about credit cards? How does that work? You know, what if I need more cash? Do I have to bring, you know, Canadian or US dollars and have them exchanged over there? What do I do? Okay, it's pretty simple. So when we went, we brought cash with us because we weren't sure quite how much cash we'd want. And usually, you know, for restaurants, you know, for breakfast and lunch, or, you know, smaller meals that are, you know, don't cost as much or that kind of thing, or for getting coffee or street food, cash is nice to have. Also, if you are purchasing things from some street vendors and some of the small markets or shopping streets, some of them prefer cash. Some of the really small mom and pop places only take cash, but they will usually tell you that ahead of time. So when it comes to cash, bring what you think is appropriate, but if you don't feel comfortable carrying large amounts of cash, which I tend not to, even in Japan, which is extremely safe, I just feel like, oh, what if I lost my, you know, bankroll, that kind of thing. What do I do? How do I get more money? Well, what would you do if you were anywhere in North America and you needed cash? You'd find an ATM. So finding an ATM in Japan is pretty straightforward. You look for a 7-Eleven, and because they are every two blocks, basically, you'll see them everywhere. And when people tell you, oh, you'll see 7-Eleven everywhere, and you think, yeah, sure, I'm sure I'll see them. Yeah, whatever. No, they're literally everywhere. And so you look for a 7-Eleven, they'll have a sign in the window that says 7-Eleven bank or something along those lines. And you'll know, oh, that 7-Eleven has a bank machine. And you'll see a lineup of ATMs, and they all take North American debit cards or bank cards. I don't know about other countries. I didn't bother to look for that, but they will take your North American bank card. So I bank with Royal Bank. They had no problem putting my bank card in and withdrawing cash. You can obviously choose, it'll all come out in yen. Some bank machines will let you choose your denomination that you get of the cash that you take out. Others, they just spit out usually the largest bills possible. So if you're taking out, you know, 40,000 yen, which is about what, $400, that's about $4,000. So if 4,000 yen, if you're taking that out and you're giving $400, then, you know, they might just give you 4 100 yen bills, and then you would have to break them from there. Now, the other thing you can do is you can use your credit card just about everywhere. I personally have a Visa, but when I looked at the credit card signs, they take Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover, I think Diners Club, credit cards that I haven't heard of for years, things that I thought that had just long been discontinued and swallowed up by larger companies. They accept those credit cards. So most major credit cards, but I think most of us travel with, you know, either Visa, MasterCard, or American Express, and you're totally covered there. One thing I will say about shopping and dining out and those types of things and using my credit card in Japan is they have tap in some instances, but they also have chip technology, and not chip technology like in America where you put your chip in and then the register does whatever. No, I'm talking chip technology with it, for what the chip is actually meant for. So you put your chip card into the debit machine and then you punch in your PIN number to approve the transaction. So it's literally just like paying in Canada, which is fantastic. Also to note with paying for things, first off, they're a tipless society, so tipping is considered rude. So when you are at a restaurant and you know something is $50, it's $50. You're not going to pay $50 and then think, oh, what do I tip here? What's correct? No, you don't have to worry about anything like that. But also when you're paying for things, you'll notice that everywhere has a small little tray, you know, about 6 inches, that kind of size tray. And for what you do with that is that's where you put your credit card or your cash that you're paying with. And then the cashier will take your card and take the tray, and then they will get your change or help you with your card, and they'll put it back on the tray and hand it back to you. So just kind of be conscious that you don't directly hand money hand to hand when you're in Japan. Now, one thing that I will say to make sure that you have cash for is the Pasmo and Suica card machines at the metro stations. Even if they say on them that they accept major credit cards, we found that a lot of them didn't actually accept major credit cards, and that was a bit confusing. So definitely have some cash on hand for that, because you might get caught and, you know, you obviously need to get around. So I hope that was helpful for some of the questions that you might have about traveling to Japan. And like I said, Japan is one of our absolute favorite travel destinations in the world. We love it. We hope that you'll visit there and that you'll love it too. And of course, if you have any additional questions that you would like answered on this podcast, feel free to shoot us a message over at info@styledtosparkle.com.
Thank you for listening to the Real Girl Podcast. Find us on styledtosparkle.com and iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe today to have the latest episodes delivered to your favorite listening device.